Let's pray. Father, even when we don't understand everything going on, the circumstances, the things that we face every day, Lord, help us to learn to lean on You, to listen for Your voice. Help us to, Lord, have an expectation of knowing that we are Your children and that we want to hear from our Father. Lord, I pray for that right now as we're beginning to study Your Word, that there would be an expectation of hearing Your voice this morning, that You would speak to each and every one of us individually. Father, that Your will would truly be done through this service time now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to open up our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:13. And so last week we talked about spiritual warfare and the spiritual elements that's going on even when we don't see it. There is very real spiritual warfare going on. And I don't know about y'all, but I felt it this week. And I, from listening to many of you talk, you felt it this week. We have an enemy that's trying to destroy us, but when we look around at our culture, at our society, at the world, at the United States, it seems like the enemy is doing his best to try and destroy us here also. In these couple verses that I'm going to read in 2 Chronicles, I don't know how many of you remember or not, but when all this COVID stuff first began, we were there was a church in Texas that had started it, and it was praying these verses, and everybody was supposed to pray at 7:14 at night. Does anybody remember that? Is anybody still doing it? We all forgot, didn't we? Yeah, but nothing's changed yet. There's still people getting sick. There's still all this trouble and chaos going in our society. But as God's people, have we forgot? We're still supposed to be praying. We're still supposed to be seeking the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14 says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people." Did y'all hear that? Send a plague among my people. Verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name," that's you, that's me. If you're here this morning, I hope you claim that you're called by Jesus' name. And if you don't claim that, then before this service goes any further, you need to come up to these altars and pray and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. So if you've already done that, that's you, that's me. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." So as I've been thinking about this verse for several weeks. And that's what I was saying last week. I was going back and forth between this sermon and the sermon that you heard about the spiritual warfare. But church, I think we've got some problems in the church today with us not living this out. I want you to think about the word humble, "if my people will humble themselves." And Strong's definition says to properly bend the knee. And then it goes on to say, "hence to humiliate, vanquish, bring down low, into subjection, under humble self-subdue." And what the word that I really like there is "into subjection." When I humble myself, then I'm no longer in control. I'm in subjection to the Father. And when I'm humbling myself in this type of humbling, that I no longer make the decisions. I'm humbling myself before my Heavenly Father. And when you read this to bend the knee, and I don't want to get into all that stuff, but you see that I just heard a testimony this week, and I've not been watching sporting events or anything. There hadn't been any sporting events on, but there was all the players are kneeling now during the national anthem. But one pitcher who's 27 years old, I can't remember what team he was with. Does anybody remember the team he was with? Did y'all hear the story? He didn't kneel. And he says, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. And the only person that I'm going to kneel to is my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, my Lord. And he gave testimony to that. And they didn't want to hear that. They cut off the interview. But y'all, they're kneeling to make a statement or whatever, but how many of us are kneeling before our Heavenly Father and humbling ourselves before Him? You know, we can get mad at this, or we can be in line with that, and we can support them, or we can disapprove of what they're doing, but the reality is, what are you doing? Are you humbling yourself before your Heavenly Father? Have you come to a point that your life is in subjection to Him? Lord, You're in control. Tim, good song. Learning to lean. I'm in subjection to You, Heavenly Father. And then you go to the next word that kind of stood out to me in this. To seek. To humble ourselves and to seek. And when you look up the definitions to seek, of course you say, well, that's easy. But it says to search out by any method, specifically in worship or prayer. By implications, to strive after. Ask, beg, beseech, desire, inquire, get made, inquisition, make request, require, seek for. I read the whole thing, but the real thing that I was thinking about is to really search out. You know, hearing a sermon on Sunday morning is not all that's in searching out. You know, have you guys ever had someone give you directions to something and then you get driving there and you're like, wait a minute, what'd they say? And you really aren't getting it until you get to your destination. And then you're like, okay, yeah, now I get it. And I understand where they were saying make that left turn and where they were saying to do this right turn. And I had a guy giving me directions the other day, and what he told me over the phone, I didn't understand. And I'm like, well, look, I got you in my GPS. And I said, when I get close, if I have any problems, I'll give you a call. But I really didn't understand what he was saying until I got to the destination. And then it's like, oh, it makes sense now what he was saying. It wasn't until I traveled, though, that journey, that it made sense. And y'all, this, I hope, is good. The Bible says, do not forsake fellowshipping together. We need to come here. But this is just the instructions. And then it's taking, it's living it out, and it's opening up the Word, and it's praying, and it's worshiping, and it's saying, Father, help me. I want to seek You. I want to know You. I want to hear those directions and apply them to my life. If my people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face. When I think about that, seeking someone's face, that's knowing them intimately. That's, you know, there's not many of you here that I know your face intimately. You'd say, Pete, that's weird. You got too close. Because it's real personal. That's personal space, right? But that's the kind of seeking that we need to have with our Heavenly Father. It's that personal space. It's seeking His face to know Him intimately and to turn from their wicked ways. When I think about that, I think, well, what's turn from my wicked ways? That's repent. That's no longer living in wickedness, evil, those evil desires. That's no longer having control over me, because now I've humbled myself. I'm in subjection to my Heavenly Father. I'm seeking Him so that those evil, wicked desires are no longer in control. That's to repent. Matthew 4:17 says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. If it was near then, how much nearer is it now? Zechariah, I can't hardly read my handwriting here. I think it's 1:3 that I wrote down here. But if it's not, y'all double check me. It says, return to Me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Return to Me. Return to Me, and I will return to you. Why, as a nation, as a church, as a community, Have we not done this? Like I said, many of us have forgot about the 7:14 every day to pray, to stop what you're doing and pray. That was a worldwide campaign. Why as a church have we not humbled ourselves? Are we not seeking God, seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways? And then He says, and then I will forgive and their sins. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Then it's when God's people does these things that He's going to heal our land, that He's going to forgive our sins. You know why I think a lot of us haven't done this? And let's just be honest here, because things really aren't that bad for us. You know, I'm having to work from home. That's not a bad thing. Shoot, getting to work from home, I can do my video conference and my pajama bottoms. You know, I don't have to drive and fight the traffic. I'm saving money on gas. Wow, this ain't that bad. I'm getting to work from home. Well, I'm laid off. But you know what? I make more money laid off than I did working. This ain't that bad. Why am I crying out to God right now? Life's pretty good. I got an extra $400 each week or $600 each week from what I was making, and I'm getting to stay home and do these things at home. Life's not that bad. Well, everyone I know has got it. Really ain't that sick. Fake news. The virus ain't that bad. Everybody that I've met, everybody that I've talked to that's got it, they really ain't that sick. So why am I crying out? Is it really a plague? Is it really that bad? I don't believe the media. I don't believe the report. Why do I need to cry out to you? So-and-so's got it. They coughed for 2 days. They're fine. This person, they didn't even get a test and they said they have it. What, you know? Anybody following me here? Life's not really that bad. It hasn't really affected me that much. Why do I really need to cry out? Do we really even want revival? Because revival comes and my life's going to change. Then all at once, I might have to show up to church. I might have to show up to the prayer meetings. You know, I might have to tell my neighbor about Jesus. If Jesus really gets a hold of me, my life could be disruptive. And you know, things are pretty good. I'm getting to stay at home. I'm getting to work from home. I'm getting, you know. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? Why are we not crying out to God? I'm not pointing fingers at y'all. This is what I've been asking myself too. You know, why have I not felt more urgency to pray? But you know, I know two people. Well, I personally know one, and I have a friend at work whose uncle got this virus, and they're sick as sick can be. Been sick going on 3 or 4 weeks. Casey and Jeremy's cousins, wife's dad died from it, right? And it was legit, not one of those, you know, fake news or whatever. So there are people that's really getting this, that's really dying, that's really sick. But more important than that, what's it done to the church? People aren't going to church anymore. They're staying home. They're watching it on video. Video's great. I'm excited. You know, I don't look, because I've told y'all it could be discouraging or it can be make me boastful. Okay. But Madeline was over trying to get stuff downloaded Thursday night, and I just said, Madeline, is anybody even watching? Are we going to all this trouble for nothing? And then she told me a couple weeks ago, Dad, the views was this number, and last week it was this number, and I'm like, okay. And because I told you, if even one person's watching, we'll continue to do this. But the reality is, it's changing church, it's changing our society, it's changing our fellowship. You know, before all this happened, we were changing up Sunday nights a little bit, and you know, we were meeting, playing cards and doing all that stuff, trying to get fellowship going because we need each other. That's put a stop to it. Put a stop to it. And what's so sad is some people don't care. Well, now I've got my evening to do what I want to do. Now I'm glad I don't have to come on Wednesday nights anymore because, you know, I was just, that was a hard service for me to make because of work and everything. And now I don't have to, I'm glad we don't have Sunday nights going on right now. And I'm glad we don't have fellowship because I had to cook or I had to do this or we'd stay out so late or, and you know what? It's okay. I don't really need to come to church anymore and fellowship. I can just watch it on TV. What do y'all think? Is this your heart? Has this been my heart? Because life's still pretty good for us. When I was thinking about the people crying out for God, I thought about in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And it said, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. If my people who are called by my name," that's you, that's me, "the world's suffering right now, but are we crying out because our life's good, it hasn't affected us? Are we crying out in our homes, in our communities, in our churches, as a nation for God?" Here, the Lord said, "I have indeed seen their misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out, but..." Can I tell you something? If Crystal was sick with it, I'd be crying out. If Madeline or Hayden was sick with it, I'd be crying out. You know what? If one of y'all was sick with it, I'd be crying out. But because my buddy at work's uncle is sick and I don't even know him, I don't even know his name. Lord, touch him. Bless him. Because so-and-so at work, because so-and-so up in Northwest Arkansas, this community's getting hit with it. But we're God's children. Why are we not crying out? Verse 9 says, if I can find it here, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians. The Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." He says, "I've seen their suffering. I've heard their cries. Now I'm going to deliver them. Now I'm going to deliver them. When they've cried out to me, when they've come to me." Nehemiah, great example. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah has heard about the walls in Jerusalem being torn down and all the trouble and the disgrace that's come upon him. And in Nehemiah 1, chapter 3, he says, "They said to me, 'Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The walls of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Huh? He heard about what was going on over here. It's not where he's at. And he cried out, and he mourned, and he fasted, and he prayed. Can I ask you, when was the last time you really fasted? When was the last time you really prayed? When was the last time you wept and cried out? Y'all, I had a rough week, and I'm not going to go into any details, but I couldn't quit crying this week. I cried every day except for Friday. More than once. Driving down the road, and I'd just start bawling and crying. And the Lord said to me, He says, "You know, Pete, you're awful upset over this issue because it concerns you. But what about the issues that's concerning this nation? God, you're right. I've not cried out. I've not wept over what's going on because that's not affecting me that much. Heck, if anything, I'm working more now. Making more money. Because we're short-handed. You guys can pick up your rocks and stone me if you want. I'm just being honest this morning. If it affects me, then all at once I can't quit crying. If it affects my family all at once, I can't quit crying. But when it affects the community, it's a little different. Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and obey His commands. Church, we need to etch that into our minds. Let your ears be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servant. Have you ever had something on your mind so much that first thing in the morning when you wake up, it's the first thing that pops in your head? You think about it all day when you go to bed at night. That's the way it was, and that's the way. Why aren't we that way now? The people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. See, I think that that's where it needs to begin. Even this morning is us confessing our sins. And not only our sins, but the sins of our communities, the sins of our nation, and crying out. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Church, that can be said true of even the church today. We're not following your commands, Lord. If something's not politically correct in today's church, we just don't preach about it. Or we say, oh, that was for that day and time. It says, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. What have we become as an America? Unfaithful. Right? We've become unfaithful. He says, I'm going to scatter you. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people are at the farthest horizon. I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. If my people. Verse 10 says, they are your servants and your people whom you redeem by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ears be attentive to the prayer of this, your servant, and to the prayers of your servant who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was a cupbearer to the king. He was about to go ask the king. We're not going any further into the story. But you guys know that's been here for many years that Nehemiah is one of my favorite books because of what took place. The things that they thought that was impossible, that the world thought was impossible, they did with God's help. And church, can I tell you something? What seems impossible right now going on in the world can be possible if God's people will humble themselves, if we'll begin to seek His face, begin to pray, begin to cry out. If my people who are called by my name, church, this is awakening for us as a church. Not to look at the fake news or whatever that's going on aside from the fake news. We see the real news of what's going on in our country, and it's in turmoil aside from the virus. Even if the virus is 100% fake, which I don't think it's 100% fake, but we're not getting into all that. Even if it is 100% fake, look at everything else going on, the wickedness, the disobedience. Are we ready to humble ourselves? Are we ready to cry out? We're about to finish up. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." The wrath of God is real, y'all. And it says it is being revealed against all the godless and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I want you to think about that, suppressing the truth. You know the right or wrong you ought to do. But how many times do you suppress that truth because your fleshly desire takes over? Your fleshly desire. You just want to do this. And then, I'll just ask God to forgive me later. I've done that. But that's not how we're to live. And God's wrath is coming against those who suppress the truth. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. What's that saying? It's saying you can look around at creation and know that God's real. We're without excuse now. Verse 21, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." That scary verse right there, because they knew God. They knew God! "But they neither glorified God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." Don't think that you're above losing your way. We have to be careful. We have to learn to lean on Jesus and walk in obedience and seek Him and turn from our wickedness and renew our minds and seek Him daily. They knew God, but they didn't recognize God. It says, "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." You know, we say, "Well, I would never bow down and worship things," but we do. I was delivering to a guy last week, and he took this old 55 Chevy and rebuilt it. Oh my gosh, it was a beautiful car. And I delivered to him again this week. I was hoping it was there because I was going to take some pictures of it. But it's only got 300 miles on it because he don't hardly drive it. It's too nice. Said at auction, it'd probably start off about $100,000, go up from there. Have I already told y'all about this car? Man, it was nice. Y'all, what do we worship, though? Seriously, what do we worship? "Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to the sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever to be praised." They choose to worship created things rather than the Creator. Where are you at? Where are you at this morning? Is your walk with God fantastic? Have you been seeking Him? Have you been praying? Have you humbled yourself? Are you seeking Him with all your heart? Have you turned from your wickedness? Have you had compassion, and do you care for the people around you that may be hurting worse than you? Where are you at? We want our nation back. We want things to change. It begins with us. We can't look at the president, the congressmen, the senators. We can't look at any leaders. We can't look at our bosses. It's God's people. When my people will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal their land. I get disgusted with things that I see. It's to the point that we're not even really watching any news media anymore, any sporting events or anything. I'm disgusted with it. But who's really to blame? The devil, okay. But here, if my people will humble themselves, God, it needs to begin with us. I heard something on the way to work and Friday morning, and it kind of surprised me. But I guess Louisiana's governor, did y'all see that? Has called for a fast and prayer for the state Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It really surprised me that the governor is calling for this. But y'all, we as people of God, I'm not calling for a fast today. I'm not calling for anything other than you begin to seek the Lord. That's where it begins and that's where it ends. Let's not wait for it to affect our life. Like I said, if one of y'all's sick, if my wife and kids are sick, it's going to affect my life and I'm going to be crying out. But let's not let it get to that point. Let's begin to seek God right now and pray and ask for forgiveness. And just like Nehemiah said, I need forgiveness for my life. Do you? But I need forgiveness for my life and then ask for forgiveness for my life and for our communities and for our country and for the people around us. God, forgive them, for they're lost, they're blind, they don't know. Let's stand. Lord, I pray that this wasn't just another message that we hear and we leave here unchanged. Lord, I pray that it's not just another message that I've preached in the past. Truly turn from our wicked ways. No longer deny the truth. Lord, that if our life's going in the wrong direction, if we haven't been humbling ourselves and in subjection to you, Father, may we repent of that right now. Lord, have you begin to pray for souls, for our families, for our churches, for our communities, and for our nation. And may it not just be a brief quick thought, but may it be a seeking you. And we see this nation repent and turn back to you. Turn from their wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins. Father, have your way now in Jesus' mighty name. The altars are open if anybody would like to come and pray. the song saying, learning to lean. And sometimes it's like learning. When you're learning something, you make mistakes sometimes, don't you? Sometimes you don't quite do it right. If you've blown it, if you missed the mark, don't give up. Keep going and keep leaning on Jesus and keep seeking Him for instructions. But can I just ask you to pray for a passion for God like you'd have a passion for everything else? I was talking to another pastor, and I can't remember if it was this last week or the week before, and he kind of expressed his frustration. And he said, you know, I've got all these people not coming to church, but yet I see them in Walmart. He said, I got all these people not coming in church, but I see them posting their stories when they're with their friends and families at big gatherings and big parties. But, oh no, Pastor, we can't come to church because we might get the virus. Where's your priority? What's important to you? You blown it? Confess it. Let it be in the past. Learning to lean. From this moment forward, just cry out, God, help me to have that passion and desire for You. Not in my strength, not in my might, but by the power of Your Holy Spirit, fill me, Lord. And let's cry out and seek Him each and every day. Y'all have a blessed week. If you need me and I don't respond right away, please leave me a message or send me a text message and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. If it's an emergency, get a hold of Tim. And y'all have a blessed week, okay?